Hey guys, we are back. Hopefully you listened to the last two podcasts. We had one on Ash Wednesday, and then yesterday we did one on Palm Sunday. So today we are here talking about Holy Monday.
Holy Monday.
All right, but if they haven't heard the other podcasts, I think they should pause and back and
finish those.
It's not too late.
Highly encouraged. And they're short. Yeah.
Good.
As we'll try and make this one as well. So, but Holy Monday, so Holy Week in general, there's lots to unpack and everything, but I did not realize that there was something every day.
Yep.
So what is Holy Monday?
Yeah. And I also think you got to understand there is a goal that the ancient church had in creating this experience. And it's to prepare your heart to be desperate for Jesus to conquer death. If you aren't encountering death, if death hasn't touched you, it's hard to truly celebrate the conquering of it.
Yep.
And so there's this whole season before of being honest about the touch of death, being honest about the reality of pain and suffering, and the fact that Jesus is going through it this whole time, and he's inviting you on this journey.
Love you how you smile every time we talk about this, too, this journey of death.
It is. I mean, I think like there's a gap between the things that people are taught growing up in the church and the things people experience in the church. And so it's very often that people experience tragedy or hardship or death, and the first thing comes to their head is like, well, if God is good or if God exists, how can there be this?
Yep.
And it's like, oh, you sweet person.
This because God
this
exists.
Like He's right there, in our tragedy and death, he is even closer.
Yeah.
And I think that's our goal in the church is the church is and the expert on tragedy and death and pain. And when everything seems to be on fire, there he is in solidarity. And so although everything about Sunday is celebration and pastels and fun and beautiful, everything going up to it seems to be the opposite. And that's our daily experience. Yeah. And so our past 40 days, there's the symbol of going out into the desert and following him into the desert to be tempted by Satan himself. And then Palm Sunday is at the tail end of that, and it's the triumphal entry of Jesus into the holy city on Palm Sunday. And there's this symbol of our hearts being that holy place and him coming into it. And today is the first day of action. Mm-hmm. So to follow just that general theme of preparing our hearts for Easter, paint us a picture of the things that are happening on Holy Monday.
Okay. So when I think about this, I think from the perspective of the disciples, or the greater followers of Jesus, Sunday was great. Like, it was a party. It was this procession.
We are right.
Yes, yeah.
I bet on the right team, and we got the payoff.
Yeah. And so they come in with, this sense of, victoriousness. I'm like, yes, we did it. We're here. Things are about to get very real. From now going forward, Jesus is about to make his followers very, very, very uncomfortable because he is going to start calling out some incredibly powerful and dangerous people. And if I was a disciple, I would wake up Monday morning like, what's going to happen today? And I would go to bed on Monday night being like,
oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I am terrified.
Yep. Yeah, that's really good. And if kind of anything here, it will help us understand the journey of Peter. At the end, he denies Christ. It's so easy to say. Well, how did he do that?
Right.
It's like, well, I totally get it.
Yeah, he just experienced a week. Yeah. Like we'll talk about it, but like he's had a week before he gets to that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brutal. All right, so there.
Yeah, what's the action?
There are a couple things that happen on Holy Monday that kind of uphold the value of it to kind of set the tone for everything that is about to come. So you have the cleansing of the temple the cleansing of the temple. Mm-hmm. And then you have the cursing of the fig tree.
Yep.
Are you going to unpack this stuff? Okay.
Yeah. Dropping these things. Yeah, yeah. So the cleansing of the temple, the cursing of the fig tree, and the calling out of the Pharisees and Sadducees as hypocrites.
Yeah.
And I think how this day is built for us to experience it in its fullness, don't see yourself as Jesus.
Because you're not.
Okay. You are the holy city
who
is being spoken to.
Yes.
Okay. That's important. So don't go, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. There are parts of us that have to be spoken to. There are parts of us that are the fig tree. There are parts of us that are the temple. There are parts of us that are the Pharisees and Sadducees. Please engage that story.
Yeah. So the Gospels, depending on which Gospel you read about this day, some of them include something, some of them don't, some of them reverse the order of things, which is really interesting. I really like the order that the Book of Mark kind of portrays things, where it starts with this moment of the fig tree.
Yep.
Okay.
Tell us about this.
All right. Okay. So you guys are like, yeah, this is kind of fun. It's totally unplanned, right? And so it's kind of like,
I just have a hunch.
Yeah. It's
I would rather hear what you have to say.
It's
kind
of like, okay, what do you have? What do I have? I don't know. Let's see.
I have expectation of you talking about the fig tree.
Oh, man. So I love the story of the fig tree just because
I knew it.
Because you don't.
I do.
No. I'm just going to present the story. I'm going to tell a story. All right, so Jesus and his disciples are going into a place that there are fig trees, and figs are fruit that you pick and eat. It's like, yeah. And so they pass this tree that is gorgeous. It's on the outside. There are bunches of leaves, and it appears to be healthy. But upon further inspection, there isn't any fruit on the tree at all. And it is the season that these trees should be in full harvest. Okay. And
poetic.
It angers Jesus, and he curses the fig tree. The following day, mm-hmm. they come on the same path, past the same fig tree, and it is dead. That is a story of the fig tree. And it kind of paints a picture.
Yep.
Here's a kind of like a side thing. A lot of the Gospels have things that paint pictures before it happens. So if you pay attention to the different people who get healed, for instance, Jesus, he heals people. And in fact, he probably healed thousands of people. But in each gospel, there's only like five or six healings that are handpicked for a bigger story, right? And so anytime there's someone who's paralyzed, they're often outside the temple begging for silver or gold. Because the symbol of a paralyzed guy begging for silver and gold is the poetry of the temple and the thing it's become.
Hmm.
It doesn't go anywhere, and it just asks for your money.
Cool.
You know, it's like things like that. Or the story of the blind guy who could not see Jesus, and he was standing right in front of him.
Yep.
And then how Jesus heals him, and the first thing he sees are trees. And it's like the symbol of Eden. He sees the garden again before he sees the gardener. Like, there's this intentional picture that's trying to be built. And so the symbol of the fig tree is kind of Jesus doing just this. What he's about to do in cursing the fig tree, the tree that does not bear fruit, yep, is everything that this day is all about.
Yeah. He's not just hangry.
No. It's like, oh, I want fruit.
Yeah. I want it. Darn it. Do it.
Yeah. When he sees the fig tree, he sees a symbol of something else that makes him angry.
Yep. So explain it.
Well, I have guesses. Okay. Yeah. So you can confirm or redirect. Okay. Knowing what's to come. Yeah. If there's one thing, and maybe there's many, it's at least the religious leaders. These people who are there, just as you said, it's like this tree should be in season. It should be growing fruit. And like, as you described it, it's like a paralyzed person just asking for money. When the goal of these religious leaders are to love and care and shepherd and build up God's people. Like, they are the shepherds of the sheep, yep, of God's people. Like, there's a place where Jesus like laments that there's these sheep without a shepherd that cares about them. So that's one thing I'm assuming, yeah, that he sees.
So a couple hours ago, I sent him a text. I said, oh my gosh, there's this passage that I think speaks the vocabulary of the fig tree. And it's from the book of Jude. And it's so I think it's Jude chapter 1, verse 12.
Yep.
Do you have that?
I do.
And I think it speaks the language of the fig tree because I truly believe that the agricultural dialogue, I think that's important. So on Palm Sunday, you have the palm branches and this begging for the outpouring of rain, because they are an agrarian people. And then here, there's figs. Earlier in the Gospels, there's olives and wheat. And like, for us to understand the heart of the things, it's you don't plant a field just to see it. You plant a field for the harvest.
Yep.
And so to have these fig trees that are in the holy city, agriculture does not happen inside the city walls, but they've chosen for these fruit trees to be inside the city, and they don't bear fruit. They're just ornaments.
Yeah. Should I read it?
Read it.
These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted.
Wow, twice dead.
I just got goosebumps, because this picture of the fig tree that our church calendar invites us to embrace this like contemplative practice of saying, search me.
Yeah.
If Jesus passed by me,
uh-huh,
does he pick fruit?
Yep. That's really good.
So on this Holy Monday, you talked about there were three things. It sounded like three things. So the fig tree.
Fig tree.
Then the calling out the Pharisees.
Cleansing of the temple.
Yeah. Cleansing of the temple.
And I think
temple.
We'll just cover the two and save the rest for Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's debate on what happened Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, so what is this cleansing of the temple?
Well, this is the story of when Jesus goes in the temple, and which ties into like paralyzed people just begging for money. It's like they had this system where people traveled a very long distance to make sacrifices at the temple. Animal sacrifices would not survive the journey. It would be impossible for that to happen. So it started as the service to these people of like, you can buy an animal sacrifice here, so you're able to still make the sacrifice. But what this became was basically like highway robbery in the sense of like, they would upcharge these people to a significant degree because they had nowhere else to go. And they came all this way to make these sacrifices. And if a goat was worth like, they didn't have dollars, but if it was worth $1, they were charging them $10.
Okay.
Because they're not going to go back home. They have to pay the $10 to like
have surcharging to go. Back then, right?
Yeah. So when Jesus comes in and he calls the temple a den of thieves, that's what he's referring to. Again, these people that are supposed to be like caring, like shepherding these people, they're stealing from them.
All right. So I have to, at this point in time, I can hear people that are playing this podcast saying, wait. So there are other gospels that have the cleansing of the temple at the very beginning right. of the gospels. And so I just want to call out, these are things, that are put together and are in different orders for the experience of this calendar feast, Holy Week experience. So for instance, the 40 days that Jesus spent out being tempted by Satan, that did not happen just before Palm Sunday. They're all being crushed together to create this experience for the heart.
Yep.
Okay.
It.
So I just,
that's great.
So I like heard someone saying, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense.
Literally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense at all. But yes.
Yeah, this is the beginning of what we were talking about. It's right. like you wake up Monday morning, you're excited. What's going to happen? And then Jesus starts publicly calling out the religious leaders for stealing from people. And
so the cleanse is he's calling them out.
Right. And like this is him tipping over the tables right. and like driving out like these people who are selling like these animals at an upcharge to steal from these people. For
yeah. And beyond that, though, it's creating a system that people think they can buy the sacrifice.
Yep. That's true.
I mean, mm-hmm. like that's
a whole other level. Yeah.
That's a layer. There is a cultural shift. So these Jewish families from Persia aren't carrying their and right. they actually would carry them so they didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. Ugh. I mean, like you have that picture and then you sacrifice that to God and there's a journey happening, but the temple created a system that you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
That's too inconvenient. They turned sacrifice into convenience at the highest dollar. Wow. And like, so again, you take the fig tree, the sacrifice and convenience, the changing of culture, the holy city is not so holy anymore.
Yep.
And he's going to make it holy.
Okay. So I got... like looking into Holy Monday, because I've never practiced it before. I've never looked into it before. I started looking around for like, how has this been practiced before? And if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about like, the Greek Orthodox way of like practicing Holy Monday. So one huge callback that they do is they look back to the story of Joseph getting sold into slavery by his brothers, and eventually, like, rescuing them and forgiving them. And so they retell this story, which, again, like, we're talking about the days Jesus, like, entering into the temple, where it's almost like this illusion of, like, they threw Joseph into a pit. Jesus is getting, like, thrown into a situation right. here voluntarily. Like, that's a big difference. But it's like his brothers are around him, and they have no idea, like, what's to come. But there's all this, like, kind of mirror imagery going on. But they always read what Joseph says to his brothers after they realize that it's him and they realize it's like the person who just rescued them is the one that they sold into slavery. And I couldn't believe this when I saw this, but this is what Joseph says. He says, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus, he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So it's like this foreshadowing of things to come. It's like, it's starting to look really, really bad. And they start Monday by just getting a taste of remembering. It's like, there's something to come. And they sing this hymn. It goes like this. So Joseph's father is Jacob. And again, when Jacob comes, he thinks Joseph is dead. And he sees this, right, like, member of royalty for the Egyptian, like, people, and doesn't know that it's Joseph. So the hymn goes like this. Jacob mourned the loss of Joseph, while the noble one rode in a chariot, honored his royalty. He was grieving the loss of his son, and his son is right in front of him, and he has no idea, and is in this position of power. So cool. But what I really love is on Monday, they call them bridegroom services, because to them, this is the beginning of the wedding. Like, I know in our culture, like, it's the bride that walks down the aisle, but the way I looked into it, it feels like this is when the groom starts to walk down the aisle. Like, imagine you're, like, sitting in the audience, and you look over your shoulder, and out of the corner, the groom, like, just begins to, like, walk down the aisle. And there's all these, like, parables that Jesus tells about, like, a wedding and, like, the bridegroom coming. And if you're sleeping and you miss it, like, you miss out on it. Like, don't miss out on it. And so they sing this hymn, and it goes like this. See, the bridegroom sets forth in the dead of night, and blessed is that servant whom he shall find on watch. Unworthy the one he shall come upon sleeping. See to it, soul, that sleep does not overtake you, lest you be given up to death and be shut out of the kingdom. Bestir yourself, then, and sing out, holy, holy, holy are you, our God. Through the protection of the bodiless powers, save us. So
wow.
It's this hymn of, like, I can't miss the fact that the wedding is beginning. Like, this is the beginning of the wedding. The bridegroom has just arrived. And they have this procession where, like, in these towns and villages or cities, in this tradition, they have this procession where there's a statue of Jesus, but not dressed as like a bridegroom, but in the crown of thorns and the robe on his back, like carrying a cross, like, which is this beautiful paradox of, like, the beginning of the wedding starts with the groom in the crown of thorns, tortured, like, which kind of gets to, like, what we were talking about. I think it was yesterday that we were talking about this, of, like, the question of, like, where is God? Like, where is God in all this suffering? It's like, God is in the suffering. And viewing the beginning of the wedding with suffering, it's like it's in suffering that he walks towards the aisle. Mm-hmm. And so there's another parable where Jesus talks about, it's like, someone invites a whole bunch of people and they ignore the invitation. So he says, go out into the streets, just invite anybody. And so all these people come. But there's this detail in there. It's like the guy hosting the wedding, he comes in to, like, the wedding hall, and there's one person who doesn't have a wedding cloak on. Like, he's not wearing the appropriate attire, and he kicks him out. The end of the Greek Orthodox ceremony on Monday, they sing this hymn. Oh, my Savior, now I see your wedding hall decorated, and I have not the garment needed for me to enter it. Make the garment of my soul brightly shine, O giver of light, and save me.
It's good.
That's
good. It's really good. So it brings us back to the fig tree. It truly does. Of what is it if... What if Jesus passed this fig tree and it didn't have any leaves, but it was bearing heavy fruit? Would it even have a place in the holy city because it's not beautiful? And what is the fruit that a fig tree is supposed to bear for it to be beautiful? It's figs. and so I think there's something that the garments, the hymns, the heart, there is this searching heartbeat that today kind of brings. It's the invitation for, there's a whole bunch of psalms in the book of Psalms that David's like, search me, O Lord. If there's anything in here, tell me. It's like that type of heartbeat. And this is a great way to explore today and practice today by singing the bridegroom coming in, seeing this feast about to happen. And when, the thing that's cool is, especially for people who haven't ever practiced this before, your eyes are actually open, right, possibly for the first time.
Right.
Yep. And so you're not asleep. Mm-hmm. All the other ones, you've been sleeping, but this time you're awake and you can see him.
Yeah.
And
that's why I love that hymn, because it speaks to where I feel at in this. Like, this is the first time I've thought about like any of the stuff that we've been talking about in this podcast series. And so just like you said, it's like, my eyes are open. I see the wedding hall, but I'm not prepared.
Yep.
Can you help me in the ways that I'm lacking? Like, that's the place that I'm in. It's like, I have a desire to experience Holy Week, and my eyes are open to these things that we're talking about, but I don't think I'm prepared. Like,
that's good.
I'm not at this place where it's like, oh yeah, like, I'm getting ready for, it's like, I have no idea, but I just want to be inside of the wedding hall.
Yeah. That's, thank you, that's guys. Beautiful.
Yes. I love these conversations so much. Thank you. And stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow. I don't even know what we're talking about tomorrow, to be honest.
Holy Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Holy Tuesday. These are great. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.